It feels all the stiller in here, sitting on solid stone place, quietly with everything outside going on. Wind and leaves and goings on.
Can you speak up a little, please?
Were you having trouble hearing me?
Yeah.
Better speak up a lot then. You're sitting right there. I'd like to actually start off by hearing from you a little bit what showed up within you or around with those words, the door is at the wolf. So just a little gathering of your responses, and then I'll speak to it myself. So just speak whatever it is into the space. Did you notice?
A surprised wolf.
Slowly. Somewhere you want to go next to something you're afraid of.
It's an unlikely place to live.
Walking into the unknown.
With four legs.
Those eyes.
Say that again.
Those eyes.
My body is the door frame and teeth. Suddenly the wolf appeared right in front of me, and in its chest belly was a door. So I opened it and crawled in and began to fill the space. Warm and cozy, dark black.
Fierce, courageous parts are the opening to what's real. Thought about looking for the wolf to find the door.
Thank you. And there's also grandmother, what large teeth you have. So some other connections that, well, some, I almost feel like I don't want to say anything more because I love so much what you did with us. We'll come back and you can do some more after I bring in a couple other things, I guess. So one thing was suddenly you get diagnosed, or someone you love does. Or you learn that. Or even just all the leaves blow off the trees in a single night. And you don't have time. Time has you. Suddenly. The feeling is there in the word itself, suddenly. You can feel how everything stops. And in this koan, I felt so much how everything stops. And maybe that's the nature of a door, right? I could feel the door as a stopping, or a gate. Stop, you stop, it stops, and then? And it seems right now in our world, in my world, there's both a catapulting forward and a kind of stop. A, you know, wait, what? They what? She what? And something in me really feels this stop. And I want to honor it. I want to honor that feeling of stop. To be stopped by what stops me. The wolf, the door is at the wolf. A door is a kind of stop that opens. Here's a description someone wrote. Seems a little abstract, but maybe you'll feel the connection. Emptiness refers to the fact that things are not as solid and real as they seem, changing all the time. Not nothing, just not what we think. The sustained recognition of emptiness, the knowing, luminous clarity that exists beyond concepts, is called the awakened or enlightened state. The door is at the wolf. We all have these dimensions of mind. But do we recognize them? So there's a sort of shock of recognition. And then there's learning to sustain that openness, that aliveness. To sustain it or to allow its presence. Love like the door is at the wolf. Where your expressions were all fresh and immediate. That. The gate is always here, because if it isn't here, it's not a gate. So what helps us recognize that? In one sense, everything, every moment, every minute is that surprising if I let myself be surprised by it. And that word has something to it, to surprise. Prize is to take. To take you over. What takes over? Surprise. But how do we practice with this? You know, if we're talking about how to notice when the door is at the wolf. Because you can't ignore the other flip of it, can you? The wolf is at the door. That's built into the door is at the wolf as well. They're not really separate. And so, what is it? To me, it seems like Zen is wonderment. Usually translated, you know, jhana, absorption, but it feels to me more like wonderment. The practice of wonderment. Ooh, it sounds kind of icky. It sounds kind of like something extra. But actually, that practice of meditation, I think, helps us increase our capacity for wonderment. Sorry to have to say it in such a flat-footed way, but I think that's one of the few true things I can say about how meditation affects me. I think meditation lets me free for wonderment. So what practices? Meditation. The practice of consciously reversing habits of mind, like the flip that's built into that koan. And that really, we practice that when we sit. Yeah? Do this, but I don't have to right now. Here I am, alive. I don't have to do that usual thing my mind does. That's also the content of meditation. You know, I don't have to. Ah. And we can also practice consciously reversing other habits. And I think this is built into a lot of really significant spiritual disciplines, like Lent. In the, you know, springtime. Christian tradition is also about just shifting something, digging something up, or our retreats, or other kinds of fasting, or the end of fasting. I was connecting this with the koan that asks, what about when you've fulfilled your filial duties after a death? What about when you take off your mourning robes and that the response of the old teacher is, I love to get drunk. That's also that move, yeah? And sometimes I think we have to, in some sense, leave home to meet that wolf, that door. So I've been reading the story of someone who was the 35-year-old recognized tulku, you know, and reincarnation of an old teacher and head of several monasteries, and decided that it was time to leave, and planned way ahead with great deal of care to detail how to escape in the night. You know, all the timing and having to watch the night watchman go by and slip out the door right at that moment, and having had a key made for the lock under pretense that there a new lock was needed, and he kept the second key so that he could quietly unlock the gate and whoosh. And then he gets out onto the road and the taxi he'd ordered doesn't show up. And all of a sudden he realizes that he's not sure how his practice is gonna help him, because he's pretty scared and pissed off that the taxi's not there. It's gonna carry him away from his life as the head of the monastery. And then finally the taxi comes and he gets to the train station, and whoa. Usually when he's in a train station, somebody has bought the ticket and he has a nice, clean, quiet little room to wait in, and instead, here he is, completely surrounded by noise and filthy people and, you know, everybody spitting on the floor and all that, you know. And then gets in the train and it's even worse. It's like this crush of people, you know. The person next to him has a head full of lice, and he's like, whew. And he begins to call on his practices. And he realizes how addicted he actually has been, in spite of 35 years of discipline, you know, and hard taskmasters, and, you know, living without owning anything, no hot water, you know, not very much food, you know. He's still pretty used to being looked up to. And being the one, yeah. And so like that, you know, there's that sometimes you gotta go in some sense or another, right? Really leave habitual patterns. Or sometimes home leaves us. And the wolf is just right. So this weekend we were playing with a koan that's like that, where it says, that says, suddenly you're stuck high up in a tree, grasping a branch with your teeth. You can't reach anything with your arms or legs. And someone comes under your tree and asks you, what is the vivid mind of the ancestor who came from the west to bring us this way? What is that mind? Tell me. Desperately needing to know. What is that mind that would travel all this way to bring us this way? And you're, there you are, yeah? You didn't ask for this person to come and ask you that pesky question while you're up there hanging from a branch by your teeth. And this moment can feel like that, yeah? When it comes to you, you know, can go find it. Suddenly, what are you gonna do? Suddenly, right now, what am I gonna do? It comes to us. And actually, this made me think also about the koan that some of you were talking about downstairs a little while ago. Where Yunmen says, everybody has a light inside. Hmm. just realize what it felt like for me to hold that next to the doors at the wolf. Everybody has a light inside. Suddenly, door and wolf are right in my heart. Everybody has a light inside. When you're looking for it, you can't see it. It's dark. Dark, hidden. What is this light everybody has? He himself answered, the kitchen pantry, the entrance gate. Then he said, it's better to have nothing than something good. And then when I held that koan next to the door is at the wolf, that did a kind of weird twist. I don't know if it does to any of you. What is this light everybody has? You can meet the wolf in the kitchen pantry. Yeah? The entrance gate. He also said, you come and go by daylight. You distinguish people by daylight. Suddenly, it's the middle of the night. And there's no sun, moon, or lamplight. Would you give that beautiful howl again?
Oh!
If it's someplace you've been to, then it's possible. In a place you've never been, could you even manage to get hold of something? One thing that was gorgeous to me in listening, as I listened to the responses that came for you with the door, is that the wolf was that sense of not, there was nothing to hold on to, there was just what appeared in each of those meetings. There is. And that's natural to us. That wasn't hard work, was it? It just sort of was what happened. What if it's not hard work? And yet we can practice it. Yeah? Because sometimes encountering what's shockingly hard for us in our lives and in our time feels like really hard work. But something about the door is that the wolf doesn't have anything to do with hard work. So I guess I would leave it there with that as a matter of curiosity. What if it isn't hard work and is something we can dedicate ourselves to the beauty of it, and the harsh, harsh beauty of it, and the discoveries? So So I don't know if that made any sense, but if there's something in it, toss it.